If you don't give, you will see later on, as I continue, you see why, what will happen. But even at that, with all the warning, God does not force anyone. It has to be from a willing mind. Our new master is not a forceful slave master. We had this, a master before, which is the devil. And that one will push you. But the Lord Jesus Christ, our new master, is not a forceful slave master. Doesn't you use whip to bend us to give? 1,000 cattle upon 1,000 hills are his. He's not hungry. He can do his work like this. But then he has called us to be partakers of this great work. And so it must be done willingly. If you note, I think it's verse 12, the Bible said, there must first be a mind eager or ready to give. So actually, biblical giving is not about the money in your pocket. It's the mind. There must first be a mind eager and ready to give. And this is the main ingredient in the act of biblical giving. If you want to talk about grace of giving, this is the grace. That the mind is there, whether you have or not. Because it's when the mind is there that when you now have, you give. And that's why if you read, you see that it is not even the amount you give, or rather it is the proportion to what you have. You might have 1,000 and you give 500. Someone might have 10,000 and gives 1,000. You that give 500 from 1,000, give more. Even though 1,000 naira is bigger than 500 naira. This, the predisposition to give, that's the willing mind. That word, that mind to give, means having a predisposition to give. It's actually what the apostle is pushing here. Your heart and mind always ready, always willing to give. Even if you don't have yet. That's actually, I think it's in Peter, where he said God has raised for himself a special people, zealous for good works. That's the word. The word zealous there means eager. People that are ready. People who just want to do it. And they will give their last to do that. This is what's acceptable. Because down the line, you see that there's something called grudging giving, when you are just, your mind is not there. And if you are so, that's why we say to people in this church, if you are not born again, if you don't know the Lord, please keep your money. Keep your money. The Lord will help and fund his work. You must know him. Giving should be an act of worship. It's not forced. It is a willing act of worship. A willingness to give is what God is after. Your heart must be predisposed to give. And I'm wrapping up with this so that we can pray and ask the Lord to give us. A brother was saying to me that God can raise givers. This is actually what God should do in our midst. God should give us people who have a heart predisposed to give. They don't have to be millionaires or billionaires. You don't have to have 5-10 billionaires in our midst. If, imagine all of us having this mind predisposed to give. And that's actually what the apostle started to explain, that I'm not trying to put the burden of another church on you. If you read from verse 13, I do not mean that others should be eased and you are burdened. That's not what I'm trying to do here. Because you are the one that have some money, it's you everybody is facing. No, that's not the point. When we all have the mind to give, you are the one that have now, you give. 3, 4, 5 years, there are some group of people that also God will have blessed, they will now be the one giving. Everybody has the mind, but some do not have, some have. 3, 4, 5 years, people are finishing school and they are getting a job. We are thanking the Lord. And they say, oh, Lord, finally I can give. That time you might even have a downtime. And then the church keep just flows like that. You are just here today, you might not even have a place to sleep. For 2-3 years time, the Lord might just place you in the right place. If the mind is there, and then the motive and the reason for praying for God's blessings is now clear. You have the mind. So it is not about what you have in your pocket. And that's why this teaching about biblical giving is very important. You are a servant, you ought to do, Lord, I'm supposed to be doing this thing. I'm supposed to give to the church. I'm supposed to give to the many missions. I'm supposed to be available. I do not have. Provide for me. And then you move on. You may even have just enough to eat. Lord, I don't have more. I can only be 10 naira. But provide. With that mind, if God bring 1 million tomorrow, you will give. And that's what the apostle said here in verse 13. It is not that I want to burden you and ease other people. Because it has become so in a way in our midst. Where we have set for, some of us have set for ourselves, and it happened to all of us, a target to meet in life. And so even when the money is coming, no one sees it because, of course, before age 40, this is where you plan to be. And so money just keep going. Some of you want to leave the country, so you just keep saving, and giving Canada the money and US, and they all keep you. And there's no. And so, when will you ever give? The sickness we have, and it happens to all of us, is the heart, the predisposed heart to give. If we all have this mind, this heart, ready to give, zealous to give, eager, ready to give, whether we have or not, we are blessed. Because God has prepared a fertile ground. Just like someone who God wants to send to plant a church, the time is not yet, but the person has to give, the person is training, the person is prepared. That's the pastor ready, but it's not yet time. The day God ready, like Moses, God has called him 40 years, he had to go and learn, but that's a man of God ready. That should be what we have in the church. Givers all waiting to sprout up in their businesses, in their careers, to finish school, get a good job. Why do you think God gave you a brain for a first class? Is this how you can be the next Elon Musk or what? But when the heart is not there, there's nothing we are going to do. When you complain about the economy, for what purpose? Is it because you don't have enough to eat or you don't have enough to give? Because things are eating up what you have. I pray one day that we here, especially we who have companies, entrepreneurs, and many more, we might even get to that point, who give from our company profits to the work as CSR. That's what they do. That's how, you think God can fund this church with our salary? We want to move, and God would do it. We want to plant churches. We need big money, and we need big people. And that big person is not one big man hanging around here. It's you and me. Might just be in school. Have you not seen those tech boys around who have done unicorn businesses, 30, 32, 33? Imagine they are in this church ready to give. We'll be looking for who to send, not the money to send people. Maybe that's why God has not even made you blow. Maybe. So this really got to me, and I asked myself, do I have the mind? Or am I complaining that I've not eaten enough? Do I have the mind? Do I pray, Lord, give me the heart to give, even though I don't have now? I want to be part of this business, this move. He doesn't force you. He doesn't need our money. He just wants us to come and partake of this. He wants a heart. The word willing to give is the same word you use for the Berean. So you can. I want you to see the force. Look at Acts 17 verse 11. It's not a sermon. Let me quickly. Acts 17 verse 11. This is the Berean being talked about here. So these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with readiness and they searched the scriptures. Because of that readiness to receive God's word, they even went ahead and fact-checked Apostle Paul and searched the scriptures. That's the same word used to talk about people willing, ready to give. That kind of heart. Imagine the same heart and readiness and mind that we have to search or to receive the word of God, the same mind and heart that we have for giving to the work of God. There will be no lack in this church, whether to the church or to the poor. Or maybe that's just what we have. The same heart we have in giving is what we have for God's word. And so if you give so poorly, perhaps that's how you are also towards the work of God. What do you think? Can we say it's the same heart? If you are so poor in giving, that's actually how you are also when you are hearing all the sermons and all the Bible study. Your heart is not there. It could be. So if we have all, so we should pray. My prayer is that we have this mindset. And this was the principle in the wilderness. Apostle Paul has not come with anything new. This was the principle in the wilderness. When God told them to go and get manna, those who were stronger got more, but they were ready to give it out. And those who were weaker got little, but they did not lack. And because Apostle Paul brought this principle, it means that if tomorrow Balaba is the one stronger than me to get, I will not lack. Because today, maybe yesterday, I was stronger than him and I shared with him. So it's almost like as we are together, doesn't matter who is stronger. And you see, it doesn't promote laziness if we all have the willingness to give. But if God has made you stronger these 4 or 5 years, prospered your business, then other people partake from you. And may God raise another set of people, and God does. And we've seen in our midst in this church, some of us, maybe 10 years ago, we were given transport fare to come to church. At least I was given, at least. And after 5, 10 years, some now own businesses. And after 5, 10 years, some again will come up. So that's it. So the wilderness is not as if those who were strong were always strong. No. But at that point, when they were strong, they got and gave to the weaker ones. And for those who were weak, when they also pick up, maybe they are now grown, they are old enough, they return back. That because everybody have the mind to ensure everybody's fine or the work is fine. I'll leave it there just to touch on two other points. And I said, in chapter 9, Apostle Paul continued to talk about this giving and said, it should not be grudging. Giving should not be done grudgingly. That's why time is given for people to think and agree. So when you have started out, you're a born servant, you should take up, if it brings inconvenience, it's part of it. Then lastly, it has to come from a willing heart. It will be difficult to give grudgingly. So it should not be grudgingly, done grudgingly. So Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 5, that it is necessary to tell people ahead. So they have made up their mind, oh, I can only give for this month this, and then give it out. And this is important because of this last point. God loves a cheerful giver. The Pentecostal, I've reading on this, they rode on this up to point, the horses don't tire. But it's true that God blesses those who give. Yes, you are a born servant, you are a slave, you are supposed to be giving. Yes, even though your master owns you, he still says, do it willingly. But he blesses. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 10. God blesses those who give. But I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then he said, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he who has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. God does not deplete. Someone that's ready to give, God does not deplete that person's bank or account or business. And people even use it as a principle for giving. The Jewish will use it a lot. Have you read about the Jewish secular economy? That's why they are top of everything in the world. Just principle. But we bringing it in gospel light is, one, sacrificial. Two, it's willingly. Three, it's going to give you some inconvenience, part of the journey. Three or four, it is not grudging. It is supposed to be cheerful. If it's grudging, if it's out of necessity, if you are doing, just keep the money. Don't waste it. Let me share four scriptures to show you all around the Bible. I'm sure we know this if we are very familiar with the Pentecostal and the teaching of giving. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. There is one who scatters, yet increase more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. You cannot mock God. He's not going to force you. You don't have the gift of giving. You can pray for the heart. But know that he gives, he loves a cheerful giver. Somebody who says, Lord, this is yours. This is for the work. Somebody who is willing to take upon himself inconvenience, as we did last week, to give. 25, the generous soul will be made rich. And he who waters will also be watered himself. Don't spiritualize it though. It's giving you. Because people reform, we just say it's the gospel. Not lie. It's giving. Proverbs 19, verse 17. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. And you see the beauty of this, and this is where the Pentecostal make mistake. Because they will not teach that it is sacrificial, it is willingly, it comes with inconvenience, you are a servant doing the will of your father. They will just teach this part and it will be like lottery. Give and take, give and take. Immediately you have thought it from the angle of it's sacrificial, it's willing, it's not grudging, it is as Christ gave himself. When you now bring all these promises, it won't be lottery. It won't be God has given 10 naira. Where is 20 naira? Because you are a servant. He just said, I'm going to give you. Don't worry, I'll give you back. But you are not giving to get. You are giving because, Lord, I'm a servant. I'm a slave. You own everything. Take for your work. I just want to do it for you. But he said, upon all, I'm going to give you back. And so that's where the error came in, because they had other motives in mind. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 6. Sorry, Hebrews 6 verse 10. When you don't sleep well, eh? Hebrews 6 verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name. You know, sometimes I wrestle Pastor Tony here. There's a reward. Me? For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which he has shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. I'm not doing it so I can get a reward, but there is reward. You can't clean that reward away from the Bible. I'm a servant, born servant, doing it for the sake of Christ. Brother, I mentioned yesterday that the Lord had a glory before him. Yes, there was a glory. God, Christ was to bring many brethren up. That's motivation. God does not forget. Somebody takes 10-15% of his company income and give for the work, and you think you that want to expand and become the next Elon Musk, you think you'll be the same? He will bless with money and peace. The person will not run down. In recession, the person will stand. Because God has found a source to fund his work. And you will not run dry. Or from a salary. Or the person instead of building X or doing Y, changing the car. You know what people do just to ensure that they give. They just take upon themselves inconveniences just to be able to give. And God will not keep them where they are. We did the secret of how to live a comfortable life last Monday. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. You will watch it. And Bible study. Beautiful. Contentment is one of the blessings. But then God will also give even with what you have. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Just to wrap it up. So after this class, we should be hearing bang, bang, a lot. Thinking, well, let us know, eh? Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap flesh. We of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit, we of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Do you know the context? I should have been saying that, but I'll say it anyways. The context of this text is verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So it is like, so this is the corruption you reap. If you do not take care of those that teach you, not only pastors anyway, they're not comfortable, they're jumping balls, they are just not as comfortable to prepare and read. You will not get the best from the pulpit. That's what it's saying here. If a missionary is out there and he has to hustle and feed the family, then after Saturday night, he opens the Bible and just give you John 3:16. You are the one that will suffer it. You will eat all day. But if you give to that person and the person is able to rest and the wife is at peace, children are going to school and is studying all day, all night, when he comes with the blessings of the scriptures, you will be blessed. That's what he said. So this happens every day in churches. There's a particular seminary. Once they churn out pastors, they give them 20,000 and they say they are pastors. Of course, that's why they are the way they are. That's how they are. So you will never, the people becomes prayer merchants. So they will reap corruption, and that's what's happening. And that's why also in time to plant churches, we want to at least give our people something good. Sit down where it's okay. If you don't take care of where you are fed spiritually, the person, the place, the people, you will suffer it. If you like, listen to John MacArthur or John Piper online. You will not get, God did not send them to you. And they are comfortable. That's why they can dish out 3 times a week. Steve Lawson is in the coffee shop dishing out Bible study every Tuesday. You think if he has bills to pay, he will be in the coffee shop doing that? We have to tell ourselves the truth. Don't worry about me, I'm fine. But I'm not saying it because I want to plant churches. But and for someone like me, I know what it means to walk, run around, and want to prepare a sermon. It's tough. So you are thinking, some people don't have the capacity to do anything apart from open the Bible. Once they go and sell Gary, they can't open the Bible again. Some people can do 3-4 things together, but they can do more if they have free time. So God loves a cheerful giver. God blesses if we give. And that's, I just left this for the last, so that it won't be as if I've depressed you. The first two classes, we should give ourselves to this giving. Like someone said, we should raise givers. But I think it's not a band of people. It's all of us. Some may not have now. Some we have now. Next 2-3 years, and that set will have been risen up. So the point of the prayers that we must add to our prayer point, each cluster, is, Lord, give us a heart to give. A heart to give. So that you might just be in your year 3 now. But in the next 5 years, you are the one funding 2 church plants. It can happen. It can happen. You might just have a small business now. God blesses it, and God wants to bless it so he can fund radio. Today, a guy called me again and said, he's in hospital bed. Someone that is on bedridden. But I just called to say I was blessed today. But today is the last day of radio. He said, we don't have money to pay from today. They see a guy that's a security man that is listening to you alone. I mean it like that. Yesterday we went to Lekki and they did online adverts, just small money. Some people came from Mowi. The brother is even here today. Somebody came from Fagba. People came. Not much, but you could see quality. 4, 6, 7 people who came from afar, far and wide, and just came and said they came to hear what it means to be a Christian. Somebody paid. So we need to, Lord, give me this heart. It's not about what you have now. Forget. When God brings it, you will not be confused. So, Lord, this is for you. This is for the work. I have 10 more minutes. Any question or anything to clear? Or 5 minutes anyways. Please ask. Question? Okay. Okay. Because my sermon, I'm still preparing my sermon, so let me finish and run away from you guys. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, indeed, you love a cheerful giver. You also give the heart to give. You give the eagerness and the desire to give. Lord, please. One thing we ask for, after all that we have learned about giving, is the heart, not the money, because your money can come anytime. It's the heart, a willing heart. It will help us to test our diligence with that of Christ, who took upon himself inconvenience, eternal inconvenience, took upon human flesh that can give to us eternal life. Give us such a heart, O Lord. So even if we don't have now, when you bring and finally give us, we know where it's supposed to go. Our prayers will change, for we will pray to you so you can make us givers. We'll not sit out and let a few people give because they have. For you are giving them now, you will give us also. So we can also give from the little we have, waiting for the day you bless us with much. So we can give it out for your work. And you say you bless, O Lord, the cheerful giver. Oh, help us. Take away the grudginess, take away the sin and the struggle. Help us to remember that we are servants, slaves, bond servants, who must do the will of their master, even though he doesn't whip us to give. He's such a good master who gave himself rather and will not force us to give ourselves, but will reward those who give themselves. Help us with a heart that gives. Thank you, merciful Father. Blessed be thy holy name. For in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.